Now that is my showbiz jingle. You know there's a guest coming up when you hear that music. Now joining me in the studio is Linda Beeney from the New Venture Players, who's here to talk about Ellen's Love. She's a co-founder of the New Venture Players, and she's also written and directed the play as well. So thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We're having a good old gossip about all the different sort of plays I've been to see a few. I was saying what a great value it is to go out and see. No difference between seeing New Venture Players or seeing any of the groups that put together these fantastic shows, or going to a London production, because they're that good now, aren't they, Linda?
Yes, they are. I mean, I think people have very little spare time these days, and nobody is going to be stupid enough to spend their spare time appearing in something which is, less than 100% acceptable to the viewing public. Mm. You know, they don't want their friends and family to come along and see something which is a bit embarrassing, and certainly all of our actors are absolutely devoted to theatre, and they have been. It's their principal hobby, to say the least, and in many cases it's more than a hobby. They do a little bit of professional work on the side as well, so it's maybe amateur, but it's certainly not shamateur.
Hey. And now we're going to talk about Ellen's Love, which is running on the 3rd, 4th and 5th of September. Before we talk about that, how many people are actually in the group, how many times, and are all of them actors, or do you have people that are specifically there to do the stage work or costumes?
Well, in this production we have 19 people in the cast, so that's really very big for an amateur production. But when you're telling somebody's life story that spans from 1858 to 1934, you need a lot of characters in that. So yeah. 19 people actually acting out there, and then there are another 9 people involved with backstage lighting, selling tickets, serving the wine and beer, yeah. Refreshments, etc., etc. So it's a big undertaking, and we actually have to this production is being staged outdoors, and we are building a replica of Ellen Wilmot's Alpine Garden. So, that's quite an undertaking in itself.
Now, it's Miss Wilmot of Worley Place, and the novel was by John Connell. It was called The Wall.
Part of the story, yep, of the play is based on a storyline that John Connell introduced in his novel about Worley Place and also about Ellen Wilmot. With his consent, I've plagiarised that part to form about 25% of the second act of the play, but the play is actually about Ellen Wilmot from the time she moved to Worley Place when she was 19, right the way through to when she died there, aged 76, in 1934. So John very kindly, as I say, gave me his consent to use a part of the storyline to help dramatise the second half of the play.
Tell us who she was.
Well, at her time, she was one of the most famous horticulturalists and gardeners in actually the whole world. Mm-hmm. She was renowned for the plants and species that she imported. Worley Place, which is up at Great Worley, had over 100,000 species of plants, many of which were imported by her from the Middle East, the Far East, India. She backed a number of expeditions to China and India to bring back rare species. She was one of the first lady members of the Royal Horticultural Society, one of its first trustees. She persuaded Sir Thomas Hanbury to buy Wisley, which was no mean undertaking. So she was an absolute backbone of the horticultural set from the turn of the century. She was a moneyed lady. Her father was a very successful solicitor, and they moved to Worley after the death of her youngest sister. They moved there. He bought 30 acres and the wonderful house at Worley Place in 1875. She had other relatives in the area. A lady called Countess Helen Tasker was her godmother and a cousin of her mother. She owned Middleton Hall, which of course is now part of Brentwood School. Mm. And when Countess Tasker died in 1888, Ellen inherited a massive fortune, and then she further inherited Worley Place and about £70,000 in 1898. Of course, £70,000 is nothing now, but that was a fortune back in 1898. But very sadly, ladies were not trained and educated in money matters.
Yeah.
And so as talented a woman as Ellen Wilmot was, she unfortunately was not talented with money. She bought two further estates, one in France and one in Italy, and clearly was a bit of a spendthrift. She had, at Worley Place's peak, she had over 100 gardeners looking after the estate there. And even now, you know, it's managed by Essex Wildlife Trust, and it gets visitors from not only the UK, but actually during their open days in the spring from all over the world.
Mm.
Why would Ellen Wilmot be a fascinating character? Well, it is, to a degree, a riches-to-rags story. She died penniless. The estate had to be sold off. But she was a multi-talented woman. You know, her talents didn't just extend to gardening.
Back in the day when it was very male-dominated.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she had her own dark room. She had her own microscope to help her breed rare plants. She could play 14 musical instruments. She actually used a lathe to do wood turning.
Mm.
She had a telescope. She was an expert on astronomy. She was a member of the Bach Choir. She was on the Violet Douglas Pennant Committee, which promoted the pro-suffrage movement. I mean, the woman was an absolute tour de force.
Yeah.
And it's so sad that her story ended as it did, and that Worley Place's story ended as it did, although fortunately the Essex Wildlife Trust have saved it from development. They took a lease on it back in 1977, and it's now a wonderful little oasis for people to go and visit and see some of the rare plants still there. It's daffodil banks, and its whole colour in spring is just quite magnificent, and it's a very, very interesting place to go and while away a few hours. So I thoroughly recommend it to everybody. But I'd also thoroughly recommend people come and while away a few hours at our play, of course.
Now, you've written and directed, you've been involved, you're a co-founder, in fact, from 1975 for the New Venture Players. How long did it actually take you to write the play?
There are a lot of books published about Ellen Wilmot, but I had to do a huge amount of research. I wanted to write a play about her, really, for the last sort of 10 or 12 years, partly, I suppose, because to put me in my place, I happen to live in the house that she bought for her butler, so I've kind of...
Wow.
And it's quite close to Worley Place as well,
yep.
So I feel a connection to her in a way. But to answer your question, when I retired from business a couple of years ago, I started to scribble the plot line, and it took me from the point that I actually sat down and forced myself to write the dialogue, it took me 5 months. I don't mean to say that I never walked away from the writing table, but from an awful lot of scribbles and an awful lot of screwed up paper on the floor, it was 5 months to the point at where I felt that it was acceptable, and I hope the audience thinks so as well.
So when you write something, obviously a play, it's different from writing a book, because you have to put in the actions of what people are doing and move to this part, or
absolutely, and you've got to make the plot interesting.
Yep.
You know, because although her life was fascinating, what I found the challenge with writing this production was that if, in order to tell a life story of somebody who did so much in her 76 years, you know, there was a danger that you were going to have a whole load of people traipsing on and saying, you know, virtually this is what Ellen did next.
Well, yeah,
that wouldn't be interesting in itself. So you know, I've had to obviously make sure there's a thread and a plot to it, which wasn't hugely difficult because, you know, for example, Ellen Wilmot was a friend of royalty. You know, she actually was a friend of Princess Mary, who became Queen Mary. So one of the scenes, we have Princess Mary coming to visit Worley Place, which she did, you know, with her husband when he was king as well, on several occasions. So, you know, there's a lot of... It was more difficult for me to decide what to leave out than it was to decide what to put in, really. Somebody said to me the other day, do you think there's a sequel coming? And I said, I don't think so, but... Although, actually, I don't know, it may well be that one of your listeners might be able to answer this question for me, which is that Ellen Wilmot is buried with her father in the graveyard at Brentwood Cathedral. Her mother is buried in the Peter Chapel in Thorndon Park, which the Historic Chapels Trust open to the public occasionally. And I find that rather odd. So if anybody out there knows why that is, then there are quite a few people who would love to know why it is. And somebody said to me, well, if you find out, perhaps there's another storyline there.
Oh, right. Yeah, we do have a few historians that do tune in, actually, and I do
fantastic.
Know
well, so
I
will, come I'll, back to us.
Yes, I will definitely let you know. Now, Ellen's Love, it's going to be showing on the 3rd, 4th, 5th of September. It's 7:30 p.m. in the evening. There's also a Saturday matinee at 2:30.
That's right.
And it's in the open air, and you're building all the stage at the moment. Yep. It's great in Little Worley Cricket Field.
Yes, which is on Worley Road. It's about 400 metres away from the entrance to Worley Place. We couldn't do it at Worley Place, so we've got as close as we possibly can there. And it's a lovely setting with fantastic views right out across the Thames estuary, actually. It's very, very rural, apart from when the city airport planes go over, but that's not too often, fortunately.
Yeah.
And so we're looking forward to good audiences. The ticket sales are going well already. And obviously, we'd love to see some of your listeners come along as well.
Now, tickets are £12.50 or £10 concessions. The box office number is 01708 754 116. And we will put up the details a little bit later on the website as well. Who's in the lead roles?
We've got two Ellens. We've got a young Ellen played by Sophie Howlett, and then an older Ellen, a more mature Ellen, played by Janet Oliver. We have two principal male roles, one of which is taken by Barry Howlett, who is playing her gardener, Jacob Mora. He actually joined her when he was 17 and worked for her. Again, another tragic story here. He worked for her for all of his working life. He was brought over from Switzerland to help build and maintain the Alpine Garden. And actually, after her death, he retired to Switzerland and unfortunately suffered severe depression and committed suicide. So Barry is playing that very, very positively. Then we have a lovely chap called Alan Abelwhite, who is playing Robinson, Ellen Wilmot's butler. And then we have Joan Scarsbrook playing Princess Mary. She's my co-founder of the New Venture Players, and a cast of very, very talented other roles as well. So they've all been hugely committed and very focused on it, which I'm delighted at.
So don't forget, that's the New Venture Players. It sounds like it's going to be. It sounds like it's going to be a bit heart-rending as well. Actually, this
it's, you need to bring some tissues. There are one or two occasions when it becomes quite emotional.
So that's the 3rd, 4th, 5th of September, 7:30 p.m. or 2:30 p.m. on the Saturday for an extra afternoon showing as well. It's in the open air at the Great and Little Worley Cricket Field. That's Worley Road. Tickets are £12.50. Concessions are £10, and that's 01708 754 116.
Can I just also thank Havering Arts Council, who support us, and also our sponsors, Hilbury Chaplin, have been very generous. So a big thanks to them too.
Lovely. I hope you get some recognition for writing it as well. Have you got to put it forward for any competitions?
No. I mean, we don't qualify for any, and no, I'm not looking for any awards. My reward will be good audiences and people enjoying it.
Or you might pick something up at the Brents. Is it next year? It's next year, no?
Yes,
the Brents?
Yeah.
If you're listening out there, the Brents, you heard it here first. All right, lovely.
Well, Mark Reed is coming, so you know.
Oh, well, there you go. He's the mayor at the moment.
Yes,
isn't he?
Yes, he's coming with his chain on, so.
Excellent. I know, that is so quite. He's been in here a few times. It's quite heavy.
Yes, it's massive, isn't it? Yeah. Very impressive. He came to a meeting I was at and sort of took it off and dropped it on the table, and the table nearly sagged in the middle. I asked if he needed Securicor to go around with, but maybe I shouldn't say that on live radio.
No, don't say that. Right, 11:44. Thank you very much to Linda Beeney there from the New Venture Players. Right, coming up next, we've got some Rick Astley. Oh, look at this, Rick Astley, not her team.